Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along for quarters two and three. But Andy, first of all, we'll start with the news. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. Thank you. A happy summer to you and to all the listeners out there. I think we have a good show for you today. I'm excited for what we have on deck, considering it's the middle of June, but we still have plenty of content for you.
A lot going on. Let's start with this, and you are the right guy to talk about this, Andy. The announcement for the annual Lift for Life came out this past week with all of the details from it. Full disclosure here, Andy, you were part of the Uplifting Athletes team, which the Lift for Life is all part of that program.
Correct.
Let's get you to give us a little bit of background about Uplifting Athletes and the Lift for Life event that's coming up.
So it's Penn State is the charter chapter of Uplifting Athletes. They were the first ones. They started, you know, everything that Uplifting Athletes has become started at Penn State. They've been holding a Lift for Life. You know, the organization was founded by former Penn State football player Scott Shirley. They've been holding a Lift for Life since 2003. Every year since 2003, outside of 2020 when COVID canceled everything related to events and things that we know that were going on. So we, the Penn State chapter, that's Crystal and the long snapper Crystal and offensive lineman Landon Tangwell, they are the two leaders, the leadership team for this. They are very happy that they were able to work it out and work through all the details that for the first time since 2019, the Lift for Life at Penn State can be an in-person event. In other words, fans and people can come and watch the players. They'll be able to spend, you know, interact a little bit with the players. So it'll be Lift for Life as it has been known at Penn State for the first time since 2019. And those two guys are really happy because they put a lot of work in to make this happen. There's been some date changes. They wanted to go with the traditional weekend of Arts Fest weekend. That was their original plan. They've settled on June 30th. Thursday, June 30th is where they could make it happen. It's at 5 o'clock at the Lash Turf Fields. And like I said, it is open to the public. They didn't have a Lift for Life in 20. Last year, they had to do it because of COVID protocols. Anybody that did do a Lift for Life, and a lot of the Uplifting Athletes chapters did, but everything had to be private because universities were trying to keep things really tight and strict, even going back to last summer. So there's 10 position groups for their fundraising efforts. They're going to do 225-pound bench press. They're looking to have a lot of fun. So if you get a chance and you want to see the Penn State football team in person, June 30th is your date.
And Andy, as I recall, and it's been a few years, it was a great event to see up close and in person. The nice thing, though, is also for kids. It gives the kids an opportunity to get close to the players, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, they do. They are going to do the kids camp again this year. That's a really good question. There is no pre-registration for that. You can bring your kids that day. They will have kids camp registration. They will actually go on the field with the freshmen. So all the incoming freshmen run the kids camp. Now, Chris and Landon will make sure that they have their stuff squared away and that they're keeping the kids active and busy. But all the kids get to run through drills and do stuff with the true freshman class. And that is day of sign up only. But if you want to bring your kids and send them to the kids camp that day, you certainly can.
Fantastic event. Again, that will be on Thursday, June 30th at 5 p.m. at the Lash Practice Field. There's a suggested donation of $10 for adults, $5 for kids. Great event. Hope you get a chance to get out there for that. Again, a chance to get up close, especially for the kids, to get close to the football players. It's a great event. All right, Andy, let's get to some of the other news of the week. On the recruiting front, it was interesting to me. They gained one recruit. They lost a commitment. This is for the class of 23. Yazeed Haynes, he's a recruit who's really rising as far as getting attention. Currently a three-star, but that may change with all the attention he's been getting. Formerly a Rutgers commit, he decommitted, opened up his recruiting not very long afterwards, visited Penn State, came back again, made his commitment. And then Penn State lost another recruit, Josh Miller, offensive line recruit, who visited Georgia, committed to Georgia, decommitting to Penn State. What's fascinating to me is this, Andy, a case where these are both players who seem to be increasing in status. They're both listed as three stars, but as soon as Yazeed Haynes' recruiting blew up, he made the change from Rutgers to Penn State. Josh Miller, even though a three-star, his recruiting kind of blew up. He moved on from Penn State to Georgia. Is this a case of just there's pecking order? And if you get offered by the recent national champions, you got to take it seriously and maybe make that change.
So, yeah, you're right. There kind of is a pecking order. And the thing I want to say for listeners and Penn State fans and college football fans, you can expect this to happen probably at a minimum once or twice, whether it's coming or going, at least once or twice in every recruiting class going forward. It's happening for the what I consider a good or the right reason. The timelines and the process for recruiting a class, they've moved, right? They've shifted in the last 5 years, let's just say. They have shifted greatly in the last 5 years, and it's become an earlier process, right? So, basically in junior year, or even maybe shortly after your junior year, that sort of is the time frame when a lot of commitments happen. So the time frame is moved. If somebody makes a jump, recruits continue to work and develop as players. If they make a jump, if they go to a camp, if they go here or there and get seen by another school, if they rise a little bit, that's going to change. And as time moves along, offers and stuff are going to continue. They don't stop recruiting other players just because they made the commitment, because the commitments are happening so early. Defending national champion Georgia, that changes the picture. If you wanted a Penn State offer and you're a wide receiver and you didn't have it and you committed to Rutgers, but then you rise and get one, yeah, you take it. So going forward, I think it's good for Penn State fans to say, this is not a reflection on anything to do with the coaching staff, the school, the university, their process. It's just a result of the earlier process, and it's going to happen at least once or twice in every recruiting class moving forward, and maybe a little bit more. You can expect some movement every single year.
And for these players to move, I'll say onward and upward, we're not only going to see it in the recruiting, we're going to see it with the transfer portal. We saw with Penn State last year, Arnold Ebikidi, he was at Temple. And there's no doubt his switch over to Penn State, he gained exposure, went into the Big Ten, and ended up highly drafted in the NFL. This is going to happen. It's just part of the process, Andy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not unexpected at all. And in both cases, even though Penn State lost one to Georgia, that makes sense. And, as a wide receiver, it feels good to say this for Penn State. You should feel good about this, Penn State fans. For a wide receiver to leave Rutgers and go to Penn State, that's actually makes perfect sense as well, especially with the development of the position at Penn State lately. It's been absolutely stellar the last 3 years.
And one last positive note, mentioning Josh Miller, the offensive lineman, again, listed as a three-star. But the fact that Penn State identified him pretty early in the process and recruited him, and then he eventually gets an offer from Georgia, that tells you, that speaks well of Penn State's scouting of these recruits. I wanted to get one last topic in here, Andy, with you.
Sure.
It's been in the news for a while, but we're starting to hear more and more about it. A new TV contract is coming up for the Big Ten, and the rights are going to be most likely split a bit. We know previously we saw Big Ten games on Fox, ESPN/ABC, plus the Big Ten Network.
Right.
Fox is going to be the primary again. Fox owns a big percentage of the Big Ten Network also.
Sure.
But the question is, the rest of the schedule, where is that going to go? And there appears to be a bit of a bidding war going on with several entities coveting a piece of the Big Ten TV contract.
They are, Jim Delaney's lasting gift to the conference was the short contract he signed in 2017 and gave him room to do this earlier than the other conferences. It was a very smart move, but yeah, it's going to be fascinating because the Big Ten is the highest rated television, even over the SEC in terms of volume in top 75 games. They had the number one game in 2021, Ohio State, Michigan, duh. CBS is going to lose the SEC in a couple years completely to, you know, the ESPN ABC because they own that. So CBS is now part of wanting a piece of the Big Ten. You've got the Prime, Amazon Prime coming in. ESPN ABC still wants a piece of it. They know Fox has the majority of it. So it seems like the conference holds the cards because they have their main player, and where they parcel out the rest of the conference and how they make it is going to be fascinating, but I think they hold the choices in the cards. The CBS coming in, looking for its 3:30 game on Wednesday or on Saturdays as a marquee is very interesting to me.
And what also plays into this, a couple things real quickly, streaming, do
yes.
you want to upset some of your listeners or TV watchers? Also, the other issue is ESPN. As much as many of us may not like ESPN, they kind of control the narrative often. Do you want to shut ESPN out completely? A lot more going on in this conversation, Andy. However, we're out of time. I'm sure we'll be talking about that again. Stay tuned. We have Ross Tucker coming up next.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEK results.com. or call us at 814-206-0000. It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two. That means we have Ross Tucker back with us. Ross, how you doing, my friend?
Jim, doing awesome, man. Always good to talk with you. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. Outside of car issues, I'm doing well. So we won't even talk about that. Let's move on. I know this is supposed to be the time when we're talking about the class of 22, your scouting reports, which I always tell you is my favorite series that we do on the show. But I wanted to take another break from this series for a topic that is just, it's so important, so relevant, and that's name, image, and likeness, but cutting a little closer to home right here with Penn State. In the past week, we got the announcement that Nick Singleton has signed an NIL agreement with a company called West Shore Home, which is fantastic for Nick Singleton. But you were kind of in the middle of this. You were part of this happening. You know both parties. So you were kind of in the middle of this. Ross, how did this all come down?
Yeah, so to start, just to be clear, like, I am looking for exactly zero credit. No credit. Don't need it. You know, one of the cool things, Jim, about being an NFL player and then being in the media is people already tell me how great I am all the time. I don't need any credit. I don't need any of that. You know, people are always like, oh, I love listening to you on this, or I love, like, I don't need any more. I can assure you I don't. That's not the point. The point is to talk about this deal, what I know about it between West Shore Home and Nick Singleton, and why it's such a big deal for Penn State. Let's start with this. So first of all, West Shore Home, if you're not familiar, it's a growing, awesome company. They're based in Harrisburg, but they've got 30 locations nationwide now. I don't know if they're the fastest home remodeling business or what, but they're something like that, right? So you can Google them or find more about them. I actually happen to know the CEO and the founder, BJ Wurzen. Candidly, he and his daughter and my daughter are best friends at school. So that's kind of how I got to know him. And he's a Penn State grad and we're friends now and whatever. So I had been telling him about NIL a little bit and he was familiar with it. You know, he knew the term, but I had been talking to him because obviously I have some connections at Penn State and I talk in particular with Andy Frank from time to time, but it really wasn't about that. It was just about me knowing NIL and so West Shore in general, and I would say BJ in particular, really like I think we probably throw the term genius around too much, but I mean, he's like a marketing genius. I mean, what they do in the cities they go to and how quickly they get up and running, he is very, very good from a marketing standpoint. And so one of my thoughts in talking one time with the folks at Penn State about NIL was just there's so many Penn State season ticket holders. There's so many Penn State grads. I don't know, Jim, and listen, the people listening to us right now, they're not the people I'm necessarily talking about because they're like the diehards, right? They're the people that seek out this sort of content because they care that much about Penn State football, which is great. It's the way it should be, right? But I know a lot of Penn State grads that love Penn State football that really don't know anything about NIL, Jim. They really don't. Like, they don't know about NIL. They don't, or they've kind of heard the term. They don't even know what it is. They don't know the difference between NIL and NLI. National Letter of Intent, right? So one of my thoughts was that perhaps BJ could give some marketing advice to Penn State's athletics so that they could catch up from an NIL standpoint, because Franklin was pretty clear recently, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, that he feels like Penn State's behind.
Yes, I believe they are. You have these co-ops at these other schools that are raising a lot of money for essentially for recruits. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was the thought, is that maybe BJ is a Penn State grad who, you know, knows a lot about internet marketing, could help spread the word about NIL to Penn State fans, Penn State season ticket holders, etc. So to try to make a long story short, you know, BJ Wurzon and Wes Shore, they became intrigued by actually doing a direct deal with a player. And I think in particular, they were drawn to Nick Singleton for a bunch of reasons. Number one, Nick Singleton, really, really good at football. Like, really good. That helps, right? Really good at football. And he's only going to be a freshman. So the idea would be it would be something that they could work with Nick for a number of years and sort of grow the relationship. Also, because Nick is so fast and everything Wes Shore does, and I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I believe they only do the remodeling of a bathroom or the windows if they can do it in one day. So everything with them, Jim, is speed and precision. They are in and out in a day. So I think some of their mottos are like, don't blink, you know, stuff like that, which is perfect for Singleton. Because even like, you know, Veyer and Tar Burton and Caden Wallace, they're all like, man, he is really fast. You know, like they're all saying it. So it seemed like a good fit. And then last, but certainly not least, is the fact that I happen to know, you know, the Singleton family. He's from Reading. I'm from Reading. I know his dad. And I know he is a wonderful young man. Wonderful. I mean, you will not find a person to say a negative thing about Nick Singleton, which is really hard to do, Jim, when you're, you know, as highly recruited as he was, when you get all the awards that he got. It's just hard. It's really hard to stay as humble as he has. So that was kind of the thought process. And, you know, it was BJ who thought Singleton would be a good person to do a deal with. And I think it was because of all the things I mentioned, how good of a young man he is, how good of a player he is. And then also just the fact that the things that make him special as a player are the same things that make Wes Shore special as a company.
Ross, let's explain, though, as you said, there's a lot of folks who don't know the ins and outs of NIL. This situation where Nick Singleton was actually recruited to do this after he committed to Penn State, after he arrived at Penn State, to actually represent the company, it's quite a bit different. And by the way, that was the intent of NIL versus what's going on in a lot of schools where there's a cooperative that is raising money and saying, okay, we've got millions of dollars, let's go find the best players to draw them to this school or even recruit the player, correct?
Exactly, which is not what NIL was supposed to be intended for. However, there's a couple of different aspects at play here, which is why this deal is such a big deal and noteworthy for Penn State. Number one, I believe, Jim, it's the first multi-year deal. You know, with a Penn State player, it's, you know, I think it's a three-year deal. It's a multi-year deal. So I think it's the first one of those that I'm aware of. And, You know, it's significant. It's a significant commitment by Wes Shore to Nick Singleton. And so I think there's a couple things at play here that are really important, Jim. Number one, you know, if you have star players on your roster that are not getting any name, image, and likeness money, you're exposed. They could become targets of other teams, which is not the way it's supposed to be. But ask Pitt how that worked out with Biletnikoff Award winner Jordan Addison. Ask Pitt how that went. That's the reality of the world we live in right now. I mean, that's where things are at. So one of the ways you can protect your current roster is to make sure the players on that roster get good NIL deals so that they are incentivized to stay and not transfer somewhere else. It's a reality, Jim, that these schools are dealing with. So, you know, Nick Singleton getting a multi-year agreement like this from a Penn State grad, from a company based in Harrisburg, that helps to protect his status with Penn State. At least you would think so, right? I mean, I don't know, but at least you would think so. So I think it's in Penn State's best interest to make sure all their best players and their young players have NIL deals. Then the other part of it is, go ahead, Jim, you're going to say something?
No, I was just going to agree. And what James Franklin was alluding to, or what he was asked about by the media, is Ryan Day came out and essentially said, we need $13 million, not so much to draw players here, but to keep the players here that we already have so they don't have a situation like Pitt did.
Correct. And then here's the other thing. While it can't be used as an inducement for recruiting, you better believe that if you're James Franklin and the Penn State coaches, they are saying to 2023 recruits, hey, you come here, good things happen. Did you see the deal Nick Singleton just signed with West Shore Home? You come to Penn State, you enroll with us, there are good NIL opportunities available. It's not an inducement for them to come. It's an example of what's out there.
If you get here, this is the kind of thing that could happen for you. We need to see more of that for more Penn State players. That is it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter number three, we'll take your questions. We're going to ask Ross.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering old state's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000. Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three, and that means it's time to ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross. Best question wins the KSN polo. If you want to submit a question for Ross, just download the app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button there. All right, Ross, are you ready to roll?
I am.
Okay, Ross. Now, two weeks ago, we talked pizza. All right? You know we can't get away with talking about food without getting a response. So we have multiple pizza questions this week. We may as well hit them right away. Sam from Scranton. Hey, Ross, like everyone else, I'm a big fan of yours, but come on. Did I hear you say the dough crust doesn't matter on a pizza? That's blasphemy. Any great pizza maker will tell you it's incredibly important. If you excuse the analogy, the crust is like the offensive line, the unheralded part of the pizza that very few people think of, but it's the foundation of great pizza. The sauce, cheese, and toppings are the flashy skill position players everyone gets excited about. He follows that up saying, this is all in good fun, sir. Just food for thought for the off season. Ross, do you want to respond to Sam in Scranton?
Yeah, so first of all, they actually have really good pizza up there. In Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton, they do. They have good pizza up there, and they take a lot of pride in it. Secondly, I think he misconstrued what we said. I never said the dough doesn't matter. I never said that there isn't a difference between different doughs, because if you ever have, like, cardboard pizza, that's terrible. You know what I mean? Like, if the dough is bad, it ruins the pizza. But to use your analogy, probably much like the offensive line and the skill guys, my point was that the cheese, the sauce, and in particular the toppings are really the star of the show. That doesn't mean that the dough doesn't matter. The dough does matter. The dough is important. It is the offensive line. It is the foundation. But the stars, you know, Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley and Nick Singleton, that's the toppings and the cheese. The dough, my point is I want less dough rather than more. I want good dough. I want good dough, but I want a situation where the dough is able to be a conduit to the other things that I really enjoy more.
Ross, I'm glad you answered the question that way, because we did not say the dough didn't matter. It's just the proportion of it. But we're going to follow along that line. Another famous pizza town, Chicago. Steve from Chicago says, I know I won't win for saying this, but last week you're way off on the pizza question. It's all about the dough. Toppings come second. Now to my question. If you had the choice to call games for any college conference, which one would you choose and why, and who would you want in the booth with you on the call? Keep up the great show.
Ooh, that's a really good question. So this is interesting, because there's really a lot of factors that go into it that people probably wouldn't realize, right? So a huge factor, obviously, is compensation. But secondary factors are atmosphere and how conducive it is to my travel and my lifestyle. You know, I feel like we're getting a little inside baseball here, but, you know, I like doing games where I don't have to fly. I like doing local games. So you know what I would love to do? You said he asked conference. I would love to do the Penn State games. I would love to do every Penn State home game. So that's like seven right there. And then for the away games, I drive up to State College and fly on the team plane to the away team. That is a good gig. That would be, for me, living in Harrisburg, that would be sort of the ideal gig, would be to be able to be the Penn State guy. Although I think Jack Ham has that covered for a long time, and that's obviously radio. I think the answer is probably the SEC. Because the SEC gets the biggest ratings, they'd be able to pay me the most money. And also, I think it would be an absolute blast. You know, I've talked about this before, Jim, with you and Dustin going to the Auburn game. You know, I've talked about my desire to someday retire and get an RV and then just go from SEC city to SEC city and get there on a Wednesday or Thursday and tailgate and soak it all in. I mean, that's sort of a dream of mine. Well, I'd be doing that, except I'd be calling the games too. So I think probably SEC. In terms of the play-by-play guy, that's really an interesting one. Am I talking like anybody? Or is it a guy that, you know who I think is excellent? And I love working with him, and I think he'd be fantastic. Ian Eagle. I am a huge Ian Eagle guy. I think he's like the best play-by-play guy out there. Certainly for football. He's just on it. He has the exact perfect amount of enthusiasm. He's not too much like Gus Johnson is at times. He's not too little or too negative like some other guys can be. I think Ian Eagle is perfect.
Good call. He does a good job. All right, let's go to Nick in Harrisburg, who said, I would be in complete denial saying I wouldn't want Ohio State as the whiteout game. However, I'm not so sure that having Minnesota as the whiteout game is a bad thing. Beating Minnesota is not a given, and with Ohio State the next week, maybe it's a good spot to have the whiteout. Hopefully it avoids a letdown before the showdown with Ohio State. Perhaps Ohio State isn't quite as keyed up to take on Penn State at noon as they would be for a whiteout. Taking a look at the 2022 schedule, can you see any silver linings to Minnesota being the whiteout game?
Well, I understand the logic there. I think that is a silver lining. I think the way he laid it out, that is a silver lining, and it should be a boost to Penn State against Minnesota. I guess the negatives I would say is it's just not the same. First of all, having the whiteout for Minnesota kind of props up Minnesota. You know, it kind of helps Minnesota's program get in the limelight. You know, you're kind of giving them more shine than they typically get. It's such a big deal for recruiting, and I think it's just not the same if it's Minnesota instead of Ohio State. And I think that's very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. The silver lining, I guess, would be there's a lot of recruits that want to come for the whiteout game, but there's also a lot of recruits that want to come for the Ohio State game. So maybe it helps them get two different groups of recruits, you know?
Ross, we've talked about it before, but it comes down to whiteout at night or whiteout versus the best opponent, Ohio State, at noon. How important is it to be a night game as far as you're concerned?
It has to be a night game. It's the visual is at night. It's not even close during the day. It just doesn't look the same. It's just not the same. The atmosphere is not the same. It needs to be at night. It's the combo of the Beaver Stadium, the way it's built, which every guy will tell you is the biggest, looks like the biggest stadium they've ever been at. Because Michigan's more like a bowl and more like spread out, whereas Penn State's more vertical and goes up. So it's the combination of the way Penn State Stadium is constructed, plus the lights, plus the white, has to be at night. They made the right decision there.
I've read that Beaver Stadium actually is bigger than Michigan. It's just Michigan, each individual seat in the bleachers is like an inch smaller so that they could put more people in it. Let's go to Jay in Lewis, Delaware, who says, with the recent news of Texas A&M offering a rising high school freshman, it has me wondering if NIL is at work in this early recruitment. I realize NIL was not intended to be an inducement. However, are there any NCAA guidelines, and he has that in quotes, that preclude collectives from contacting a kid who's not even in high school yet?
No, there's not. In fact, to my knowledge, there used to be that, like, some of the sports used to go after the 7th and 8th graders because there were no rules around them, because the rules didn't start till they were in high school. So they used to go after the 7th and 8th graders. I don't really think, you know, for example, there's a kid around here who's going to be a freshman at Trinity that evidently Texas A&M offered a scholarship to.
Yeah, Messiah Mickens, is that the name?
Yeah. I don't think that has anything to do with NIL. You know, they don't really talk about NIL with recruits, is my understanding, until the end. Until it comes down to a couple schools, and if it's a difference-making, and it's going to be the factor in how the kid decides, then they start talking turkey and start talking NIL. But it's not something that they talk about or need to with a kid of, you know, as young as Mickens.
The other thing with all of this, Ross, is asking about the NCAA controlling it. If these collectives, they're not supposed to be associated with the university, so just exactly how does the NCAA police them? That's the difficult question that they're dealing with. And I'm not sure they're going to come up with an answer, or at least not a good one. Ross, that's it for our questions. Stick around. Quarter number four, Andy Shea will be back, and we'll also name our winner. Stay tuned for that.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000. We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante. That means Andrew Pichet is back with us. In quarter number four, we are going to deal with we're going back to our series on the different position groups, Andy. Last week we talked about the defensive backs. Today we're going to talk about the linebackers. Before we get there, take care of a little bit of business. Our winner from the Ask Ross segment was Sam from Scranton. Sam didn't have a football question, but he spoke very passionately about pizza. That was good enough for the win.
Well done, Sam.
So we got
touch of balls.
We got blowback, Andy. A couple weeks ago, I guess it was, Ross and I were talking about style of pizza, thin crust versus thick. And when we said, you know, thin crust is the way to go, it got interpreted as bread wasn't important. And several listeners decide to question us on that, saying bread is the foundation. Sam was the one who took it even further, saying essentially the bread was the offensive line of the pizza. The toppings were like the quarterback and wide receivers. So we'll give Sam credit for the analogy.
I'm your thick crust pizza guy. You asked me a couple weeks ago and I said thick and you were like, blasphemy! I'm
like, Thick and thin has nothing to do with the idea that, yes, the bread is important, Andy.
It is.
It
That's
is.
True. Crust matters.
But it was just a question of how much of it you get. All right, let's move on. Let's move from pizza to linebackers, Andy.
Yes.
And it's a position, I'm really fascinated by it because if you negative spin it, this is a position that lost two out of three starters. I will say even three out of their top four players, because Jesse Luceda, if someone was missing at linebacker, Jesse Luceda went back there. He's gone, so that's three out of your top four. The one returning linebacker, Curtis Jacobs, he's changing sides at linebacker. Middle linebacker is a battle between two inexperienced guys in Kobe King and Tyler Elsden. And the other linebacker is going to be a safety, Jonathan Sutherland. That's the negative spin to it, Andy. What's your spin?
So my spin is I paid very close attention to the winter workouts and through spring practice, listening for little nuggets or tidbits or a little reading of the tea leaves when it came to the linebacker position. And James said it best. He's like, when he said, yes, we lost a lot of horsepower at the position. But he kind of left it at that. You didn't hear a lot about whether it was positive or that they, you know, had some work to do or anything. You didn't hear much about the linebacker position. I had a sneaky suspicion that they kind of liked what they had. I know you were a big proponent of the transfer portal, and if somebody had presented himself, they would have taken him. Absolutely. But they weren't, like, actively just going to grab somebody out of the portal. I have a sneaky feeling that despite their loss of horsepower, they're not uncomfortable or they're not overly concerned with what they have in their cabinets at the linebacker position. Yes, there's going to need some development that's going to need to happen. Yes, they're going to need a little seat time to be, you know, sort of an impact group. But I don't think they feel that this group is something that they have a very big concern about in terms of hurting this defense. So I think it's a sneaky, quiet position, and I really honestly think that they are very comfortable and confident inside the coach's room and on the practice field with what they're seeing, what they know, and what they think this group could be. I really honestly do, because I kept listening for anything that would allow you, not allowed to put a negative spin on it, but that would give you a hint that maybe you should be a little bit concerned about this. And frankly, I couldn't find it, and I did not hear it, and I was paying really close attention.
Well, Andy, I gave you what I would call the negative spin to it, the glass half empty. Here's my glass half full part of that. I don't think the linebackers were elite last year, okay? So you're not replacing stars like you are on the defensive line with Arnold Ebikidi. You're not replacing a Jaquan Brisker like you are at safety.
Right.
That's first of all. Some solid players, but nothing elite. So I think it's easier to replace if you say Curtis Jacobs is now taking over the Brandon Smith role. Do you feel like he can give you as much as Brandon Smith did last year, or perhaps even more? I would say that's a reasonable theory. At middle linebacker, I think Ellis Brooks was a bit underrated last year. I thought he was pretty good. But in Kobe King and Tyler Elsdon, it seems like they have some confidence and they have some choices there. They have two guys, two opportunities to fill that role. Maybe it'll be some kind of combination. And now that third linebacker, I know a lot of questions come up about this with Jonathan Sutherland, but T. Frank did a good explanation earlier this week talking about that role, where he said, you know, Jim, that linebacker position is often, it's a coverage position. They're covering people. Well, by bringing a safety in to do that, you probably have a player who's better prepared with that coverage skill than a linebacker is. And in essence, you're maybe talking about a 4-2-5 defense is what you're talking about. So there's my positive spin on it, Andy. How much credence do you put in that?
Yeah, no, I think they are going to – you're going to see a good bit of 4-2-5 inherently out of Penn State sometimes, whether that's Sutherland at the second linebacker position, that sort of creates it by itself, right? But also, if you've got your nickel back in there and you're going with, you know, say your Mike linebacker and Curtis Jacobs as your two pure linebackers, and Jonathan Sutherland's not on the field, or your Sam linebacker's not on the field, whoever that is, I think you're going to see a combination of mix and match. They're a base 4-3, but I don't, with the way Manny Diaz runs a defense and the players that they have, a base 4-3 isn't their strength. Their strength will be mixing and matching a combination of 4-2-5s, as we just talked about. And, you know, for me, the position that is key when I look at the linebackers going into 2022, it's your middle guy. It's the Mike linebacker. I think those two guys, which are, you mentioned them, Tyler's a redshirt sophomore, King's a redshirt freshman. They're going to slug this out for the number one reps. Both of them are going to play, and both of them are going to have a role in this defense. But their development and how they come along throughout the 2022 season, I think that's a crucial part, a crucial element for the defense. I really do. I have a sneaky suspicion that Manny Diaz and James Franklin, they kind of like these two players, and they are comfortable that they can carve out roles for both of them. It doesn't matter who wins the starting job. They're both going to have roles. But I think they are sort of crucial for this defense as the two guys in the middle, because they're similar players, but they're also a little bit different. And I think that can be an asset, but it all depends on their development.
And I think we should mention, you alluded to it, when you go into a nickel defense, that's Daquan Hardy will be coming in.
Yes.
Covering a slot. Then the question is, which linebacker comes out? Is it Jonathan Sutherland, or is it one of the other linebackers? So you're kind of getting to that situation where you're essentially playing with two linebackers all the time.
And don't forget, you can take Curtis Jacobs, and he's got the versatility. His main role is going to be in a new position. But we saw in 2021 what he can do with that other linebacker position. You go 4-2-5, you can flop and say you've got, you know, King in the middle, or, you know, middle to offside. You switch and just throw Curtis Jacobs back where he played last year and say, okay, go play this role for a couple snaps in this series. No problem there. So his versatility is actually another asset and weapon for the linebacker group.
The other part of this conversation, Andy, is the depth at linebacker. We know up front, you know, starters are gone. Curtis Jacobs is really the only experienced guy coming back. So it's, what do they have now as far as depth if any of these people go down? You know, is it Charlie Ketcher? Is it Jamari Bowden?
I think you're going to see Charlie Ketcher in some pickup snaps, I call them. Very limited, but not major unless there's an injury. He can play the will linebacker position, and he can back up Curtis Jacobs just fine. You've got two already in the middle. I think you look at Jamari as, you know, Sutherland's backup. That's an obvious first one. And you can't forget about the two wild cards in this, which are the Philadelphia Connection freshmen and Abdul Carter and Keon Wiley. What are they going to look like? There's an opportunity for them to grab some of the pickup snaps if they raise themselves up, because they're both very talented linebackers. Where they fit in this defense, who knows? You'll find that out a little bit more during camp. But there is opportunity for them to come up. Should they be playing number one snaps? You might have a problem. If you see those guys on the field consistently as sort of getting major playing roles. But in terms of pickup snaps, I think it's absolutely available. And it's not known depth, but I think it's known depth to the coaching staff, and I think that's another sort of reason why they haven't been squawking much about the linebacker position this season.
James Franklin commented on Abdul Carter a week ago and talked about him ultimately being that Mike or middle linebacker, but there's two guys already there ahead of him, and that's not necessarily a place you want to put a true freshman. So he may be starting on the outside as a position. But, yes, those guys might step up and be part of the two deep. And if there's any injury at all, it might be necessary for them to play.
Injuries are going to predicate the depth chart becoming into play. But I will just say, the last thing I want to say, Penn State fans, keep an eye on your Mike linebacker and their development in 2022. And I think you'll learn a lot about this group.
Very good, Andy. That is going to have to be it for the show. Good analysis of the linebackers. Next week we'll be talking about the defensive line. So we'll just keep finishing up the defense. But that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State?, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering Old State's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. We specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.